everyone, and welcome to Leave It at the Door, a podcast where we help teachers thrive and not just survive. I'm Annie Middlemist, and this is
Robin Elliott.
And we are here to talk to you about topics that are game changers and here to help support bringing down your stress level. If you're feeling overwhelmed, overworked, drained at the end of the day, this episode is for you. We're going to talk about how to set healthy boundaries with students, parents, and even yourself, so you can show up as the best version of yourself without burning out. Let's get started. So our first segment, we're talking about really why boundaries matter. That if you're not setting boundaries, you're really setting yourself up for failure because we only have so much energy to share. One boundary I had when I was a young teacher that I didn't have, that I should have, was communicating with parents all the time, answering emails at night, and then feeling like I didn't have time for my family and starting to resent that. First, let's talk about why boundaries matter. That I know in my career, I've definitely experienced burnout several times, and I realized that I had it because I had not set proper boundaries, that I was working late into the night, I was letting students take advantage of me, and I was letting parents communicate with me and demand expectations long after the school hours were happening. So we have to remember that teaching is a marathon, not a sprint. If we keep our calm and we keep focus with our boundaries, we can sustain our energy and most importantly, our passion for the job. So think of boundaries like those classroom rules that you set at the beginning of the year. When you set them early and reinforce them, everyone benefits without chaos taking over. The most important thing we really want to emphasize today with all of our listeners is that with your boundaries, you want to set them early and be firm about them, just like we do with expectations from our students. So Robin, I know you deal with a lot of students. I've been with you on vacation before when you are getting emails and text messages from your grad students asking if they can turn in a paper late, days later, and it's already 10 o'clock at night in New York City when they're texting you. So I've seen you process this and have to set your own boundaries. So talk to me about what you've learned throughout your career in setting boundaries with students.
Yes, this is a good one. This is something that, thank you for mentioning that, because it's something that I struggle with. So it's very common for a lot of us to struggle. So we're not alone with this. And so one thing is that I've been working with, and you've helped me with this actually, is having those time boundaries. Thanks for mentioning that, Annie. That's such a good point. And this is real. This is real life. And we all struggle with it. And you've helped me a lot with this actually. So yes, it's up to us to make those boundaries. And I do have students that email me. And when I don't email 5 minutes later with a response, then they go to texting. And my first response is to text them back. And then I have to stop and say, you know what? What is the goal here? My goal is to help these students get out of college and have a successful career. Am I helping them if I respond back to them at 10 o'clock at night and say, yes, you can turn the paper in late? I'm not. So I have to stop, take a beat, not impulsively respond to them. And as much as it hurts, I have to just wait. And then I will send an email to that answer later on, maybe schedule send it, but I will try to force myself to email them during business hours the answer the next day. Because if not, I am not helping them. I'm harming them. I'm enabling them. You mentioned setting people up for failure. Absolutely. Not only are we setting ourselves up for failure, but we're setting them up for failure. Because in the working world, they're not going to be able to text their principal at 10 o'clock at night. They might, and they might try, but they might not keep a job if they do that. So that's one of the ways that I try to set the boundaries. And even with the email, I do my out of office emails now for the weekend, which was very hard for me to do that. But I tell them that I will answer back Monday morning. And then if they have a problem, it's amazing that if you don't answer it right away, somehow the problem gets corrected. It's not an urgent issue. I'm not an on-call ER doctor. I'm an educator. So I'm teaching them life skills too, that they can figure things out. And then at 9 a.m. on Monday, I'll respond to them. So I'm teaching them those competencies also, the patience, the self-regulation and things of that nature. So that's one thing that I do with them.
Yeah, that's great. I like the schedule send so you don't forget. That's a really smart tool that we can use. And I've had those before where you walk into school and a kid will come up and say, "Did you edit my paper?" I said, "What?" "Well, I shared it with you last night." "Well, I'm not editing papers at night. That's your paper." Yeah,
And if what
absolutely. And all you do is you say no once and they will stop, but you
That's
have
it.
to say no.
That's it. And I was on a workshop. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Annie. I'm so sorry, but you got me excited. I was in a workshop the other day. I live in New York City, so it's very common. Some people are really good at it, that no is a sentence. I haven't gotten to that part yet. I feel like I have to answer it by saying, "I'm happy to help you, but I'm not available to do that right now. I'm happy to help you. I'm happy to support, but I'm available until 6 p.m. and that's it." But a lot of times, and I was on a workshop, no is a sentence, period. And I'm like, ooh, so I'm not comfortable with that yet, but I'm kind of working on that. That you're right. You say it one time, and that's all you need to do. You're setting those boundaries.
Yeah, reminding them of the boundaries that you set earlier. Yeah, that was really great. Thank you so much, because boundaries with students, whether they are 6 years old or 26 years old, you have to really keep that in mind. All right, so we've set our boundaries with our kids, but who also tends to reach out to us after hours, of course, our beautiful parents. And we do definitely see ourselves as people who help parents raise their kids, because we are with them 8 hours a day, especially in an elementary setting. You're with them a lot. And we, because we have 100 kids or 30 kids, we know when someone is standing out, that they're going to need more help, that this is atypical behavior. Whereas if you're a parent of one or two, you don't realize that. So really, I do see it as a co-raising relationship that you want to have, but you also need to make sure you have those boundaries for demanding parents. We have had parents say, "Oh, I forgot to pack a lunch. Could you pick up McDonald's for Sarah today?" Absolutely not. She got her braces tightened and she's going to need some Tylenol. You are welcome to make sure the nurse has permission to give her Tylenol. It is so quickly that parents sometimes act like because they're at work and you're with their child, you can do more than you can, not realizing that you are in a room with 28 other people. And so at the beginning of the year, at our open house or through an email, I do make it clear that I am part of the team of raising the children and helping them, but that there are boundaries between what I can or cannot do. So I make very clearly that I respond to emails between 8 and 4 p.m. If I happen to respond to an email at 4:30 or 5 o'clock, awesome. It must be something really important. And then after that, I get back to them the next business day. I love your point of setting out of office reply on the weekends. That's genius. I'm going to start doing that as well. And then I want to talk a little bit about handling difficult parent situations with those boundaries. There's a piece of advice I got that really has saved me over the years, is we've all gotten that email from a parent that is like seven paragraphs long about how the child isn't having their needs met, or they're going through a hard time, or they weren't feeling well, or we have company, so they stayed up all night. They had a tournament this weekend and couldn't do their work. And sometimes it turns into, "You need to fix this." My best advice I ever received about this is never, ever reply to an angry email. Never, ever reply to an angry email. Pick up the phone and call that parent, or reply and say, "It seems like you're really upset. Let's schedule a time to meet." Because if you look back at your personal life, have you ever resolved a conflict over text or email? It doesn't happen. It gets too mixed up. The words get jumbled and the emotions get in there, that maybe I'm reading an emotion that's not there and not understanding properly. So one really important thing about boundaries with parents is that you don't resolve conflicts in writing, in an email or a text, that you're going to schedule a meeting or schedule a phone call to really get down to what it is. Because as we know, when parents send these long emails, it is rarely about you. There's something else going on in the home that we need to get to. So that's one thing with boundaries, is if I get a long email, I read it, I own it, and I reply, "Let's set up a meeting." Because otherwise, you're going to be, talk about boundaries, you're going to be going back and forth with these emails at least 10 times. And I promise you, it's going to escalate to a point you don't want it to be. So pick up the phone, have a phone conversation, or invite them into the school to have a meeting. And if you think the child needs to be in on the meeting, like some of our middle and high school students, they need to be sitting there as well to take accountability for the behavior that you're seeing in the classroom. So there's some ways that I set boundaries with parents. Do you have anything else you want to add, Robin, to that?
That is such a great point. I will say one of the great pieces of advice I have for one of my first principals when parents would come to the school to want to meet with you right now, and if they could get past the office to come straight to your classroom because they were very upset. Then that's okay. Well, I'll speak to the principal. And so one thing is also when they come into the school is that this principal would let them sit in the parents sit in a room by themselves for a few minutes and calm down. And then they'll say, you know what? I can speak with you in about 15 minutes, but definitely the teacher doesn't have a break, but you can schedule a time with the teacher tomorrow. And that was one thing too, that we think everything's so pressing and emergency, but if they have time, like you mentioned, to calm down and simmer down, but such a good point. But face to face, having that dialogue is the best way to stop because you would keep engaging in a contest back and forth with the email. So that's such a good point. But I thought that was very good to give people time to table that conversation till your emotions are not so high. So it de-escalates the situation before it can escalate further.
Right. And that's exactly what we do with our students, right? When they get an argument or a fight, we don't talk to them when their emotions are high because they can't hear you. We know that through our emotional intelligence research. They can't hear you if they're upset. And so they need to calm down so that they can then take a few breaths, hear what you're saying, and say what they mean. And parents are no different than students in this, in our emotional regulation capacity that we have. So, yeah, a lot of similarities between how we work with our kids and how we work with our parents.
We're all humans, right? We all have those emotions and it's natural, but yeah, learning how to handle those. That's a
Yep.
great way to do.
So we've talked about setting boundaries with our students. We've talked about setting boundaries with our parents. And then there's one other person that is in the room that's very important to our career, and that is our boundaries with ourselves and making sure we're taking care of ourselves, which we talk about all the time with each other personally. I do it when I'm coaching my clients, that this is a really big struggle for a people-pleasing society that we are in. Tell me how you work on setting boundaries with yourself, or how you help your students set boundaries with themselves.
I would say that, again, that is a very good question. I mean, how do we turn off work, right? In a society where we're always plugged in with our emails or our text, how do we turn it off? I would say, all about scheduling and having those schedules in place. And so if your work day ends at 4 o'clock, whether that's in the classroom or you're offsite or you have meetings offsite, whatever that time is, turning that clock off. I mean, we are educators. So we are not 24/7. We don't work at night officially. So if your work day is until 5 p.m., then you schedule your fun, you schedule your activities or your family time after that, you are off work. There is no negotiation. There is no negotiation. You are off work and you're not able to grade papers, talk to parents, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that's one thing. Leaving that, leave it at work. Don't take that bag of papers to grade. Don't put that in your car. Take it on the train. Leave those papers at work. Challenge one time and see how that is. See how that works. How does that sound?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think even in our leadership positions, when we are supervising others or leading a team, and you want to tell them things on the weekend, that one principal taught me that when she has things she wants to say to the staff, she also schedules those emails to go out at 7 o'clock on Monday morning. Even though your brain's going and you need to get it off your plate, go ahead and write the email, but schedule it to go out Monday morning. Because if you're managing your staff or your students and you need them to see something, you need to show them as well that you don't expect them to read an email on the weekend, just like you're not going to read an email on the weekend. So it needs to be both sided in setting those boundaries as well
That's
and respecting others.
a very good point too. That's a great way of modeling it. That's well stated.
Yeah, so as we close up, I learned a little bit from you today and maybe you from some things I was saying as well. So I can tell you one thing that I'm going to do is scheduling out of office on the weekends so that my team leader knows that I am not available to answer those emails. And the parents of the kids that I coach as well will also know that unless we have a scheduled appointment, I will not be talking to you on the weekend. So that's something I'm going to start as an out of office reply. And what's one thing you're going to do this week to help with your boundary.
That's great. Yeah, that's great. I think one thing I'm going to do is I have a very long day on Tuesday with a lot of meetings. So I think on Wednesday morning, I'm going to go into work a little early to get some paperwork done before the day. And then I'm going to leave the office at 5 p.m. And that is it. I'm not taking anything home. And I'm just going to go home and I'm going to schedule time with my family and do something that I want to do that afternoon, that evening. And then I'm definitely going to be off work. So I think that's going to be my call to action.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. So, to all of our listeners out there, as we wrap this up, we want to encourage you to do the work on yourself. We're not just here to talk, we're here to help. So, give yourself one boundary that you are going to set this week. You could either use one that I'm doing or that Robin's doing, or one that you heard about on this podcast, or one you've been meaning to set. Set one boundary for yourself this week and then practice enforcing it all week. The way they're going to make this happen is you're going to write it down. Write down your boundary, how you're going to communicate it to your team or those around you, and then practice reinforcing it. So, we want to thank you so much for joining us today. We're going to end this and go spend time with our families, respecting our own boundaries of running a podcast that we absolutely love, and also spending time with our husbands and our dogs that we love to hang out with as well. You have Harlem and Brooklyn, I have Ajax and Roxy. And they love nothing more than having us tell them how beautiful they are and spending time taking them outside. So let's go do that and get some fresh air, Robin. And I will see you next week.
Exactly. Thank you so much. Have a good one. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Have a great weekend. Great week.